What's going on, everybody? What's happening?
What up, Max?
Hey, man, it's blessed. It's a blessing. It's nice seeing you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man, appreciate it.
Hey, how's the family?
Yeah, bless. Everything good, man, you know, on the grind.
All right. Let's get straight to it, you know. Usually I got my little introduction with the sound in the background, but today let's make it more organic. You know, I want to make it, you know, I don't want to make it scripted where I have to ask you a question, because, you know, we already spoke in the past and we have an idea of who we are. And you know, let's get to the first question. I wanted to know what were the early signs that made you realize you needed to do music, or that was it for you?
I think just having it was a need to have to write, right? You know, just too many ideas, too much reason to be creative, you know. And I had, you know, when you're younger, you got the whole, you and your boys are all freestyling and everybody wants to do, you know, their own thing. And I always had that Wu-Tang vibe, you know. I always wanted to be a group more than a solo artist. Mm-hmm. But if I think back, I mean, I've been kicking raps for 15 years now, so been nearly half my life. So I gotta say that I think it's more than anything, it's a need to be able to be creative. You know what I mean?
I like that. And if I'm not mistaken, at the beginning you were part of a group, right?
I mean, you know, we were a crew. We were a couple.
Shoot, it's choppy.
Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't nothing. It's more like some basement vibes, you know?
Okay. So it's interesting because you said Wu-Tang was part of your inspiration at the beginning, right? And
that whole.
Do you feel like that inspiration kind of went left at a certain point, or you still have that kind? You still have that inspiration in your lyrics.
Yeah, I do have it in my lyrics. Yet, probably, you know, in the sense of. But yeah, I'm on my own now. It's like, you know, it's really me against the world type of thing. Even though, you know, I still have my supporting cast.
Right.
It's still really just me. I mean, I take it serious. I knew from early on that I was taking it serious more than anybody else, right? Mm. And I think everybody, a lot of guys realize that, you know, everybody's in the beginning, everybody just wants to do music and it's a fun thing to do, and then, you know, then you separate the boys from the men when it comes to who's going to really strap up their boots and really get down to doing the work.
Well said, man. And what's interesting is that before this interview, I was watching your video, Lay My Head.
Lay My Head.
I see the progression from the beginning. Well, not necessarily the beginning of when I start. Well, I would say the beginning of when I started listening to your music,
or even you. I've known you now a few years now.
Yeah, but I meant like, because I didn't see the early days. I saw you at the time you were still rapping, but I don't know necessarily what it was before, right?
So yeah, you see me. Yeah, for
exactly.
Sure.
But I still see the progression, which is impressive, and I want to know what has been the inspiration behind, like, the video. Wait, let me see. Behind the video editing process, or even the visuals, because the visuals has really improved. I see that.
Yeah. And it's really like keying into like what we want to do with the art of it, you know, and making people understand that like rap doesn't have to just be in one lane, right? Mm. You can be creative and you don't have to, it doesn't have to always be, you know, it doesn't always have to be cliche and trendy, you know what I mean? And you can use various different arts to try to express what you're saying in your art form, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why we use the paintings, the idea of the paintings, The Last Supper, Van Gogh, and just the idea of the idea of pain and trying to, you know what I mean, that life is not, it's, it could be heavy on you, you know, it could, and most artists feel that, you know what I mean? Most artists have to feel that. So I just thought it'd be dope. And my video guy, Dave, I don't know if you know Dave, he's on Instagram, go check out Dave Joseph Films.
Dave Joseph Films, you said?
Yeah, Dave A. Joseph Films, he's dope. Just like, you know what I mean? He just, he, I've been working with him for years, and he sees, like, I see the progression in him, and he sees me. We just evolve, you know? It's like, I don't know how to say it, man. You just, you click, right?
Hey.
That's what the beautiful thing about the art form is, you know what I mean? It's crazy, man. You don't, and when a video comes together at the end of the editing process, I don't even, I'm not really there for the editing. So I wait to see the final. And then I'll make corrections or whatever, but it's always crazy to see what the guy sees from your song. You know what I mean? Like, you put the song, you do the video, but after that, how he edits it is really his feeling of what he thinks you should, you know, you should give everybody, you know, what the visual should feel like. And I always think that's cool, because you got to let everybody be creative, especially when you, and you need a team. I read somewhere in your ebook there about emerging artists, and you know what you gotta focus on when you're coming up, and a team is important, man. We're even though I don't really have a team and everybody's sort of independent,
right?
Still, you sort of have to have at least some type of you know, chemistry. You know what I mean, with the guys you do to work with.
Absolutely. Hey, what I like about how you display your art is that you never want to give up, you know, and I see it, man. I know the frustration they could lead to, you know. it sometimes it may feel like no one's listening to you, but the way you're displaying your art, you remind someone who's not listening to you that, hey, I got next, I'm here. And you know, you just got to keep going. Wait, give me, you hear me?
We got a voice. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, perfect.
We got a voice, man. You know what I mean? That's what this is all about. It's and you can't do it thinking, yo, I need to get a million views, and you know what I mean? Like, the goal is to get recognized and to build that fan base, and really, you know, you want people to recognize it, but at the same time, you have to do it because you love doing it, and you know what I mean? You have to do it thinking, shit, if it reaches a few people and people think my shit's dope, because I think my shit's dope. You know what I mean? Like, I like doing this shit. When I listen to my shit, I don't get tired of it. You know what I mean? I always learn from it. So for me, it's like, hopefully you could relate too. You know, hopefully that you could feel at least some of the trap. And who knows what it could lead to, right?
That's what's up, man. That's why you got to say it. And I wanted to know also, what is your creative process like before getting in the studio or even writing a song? How do you get into the process?
Yeah, it's different ways, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I put on a beat and I'll listen to the beat for a week or so, and I'll drive with the beat in my ears.
Shoot.
And I'll do a lot of things and you know, like, but I'm usually in my own bubble too. Like, I don't really create. I have a couple of homies that I do sometimes. Like, I'll get together with my cousin or a homie or two, and we might. But really, on the most part, I'm always alone. But I'll create and I'll prep a song about a week before I go into the studio. And then when I get to the studio, I just try to use my time really efficiently, because I'm paying for studio time, right? So, you know, you want your dollar, you want to get your bang for your buck. So when I go in there, I really try to have my shit ready and then work on the details once I get the skeleton, you know, done. But, you know, what is it, man? It's, who knows? You know, sometimes you could write a song in 15 minutes and sometimes it takes you a month.
Interesting. So it's
just about the beat. You know, what you have to say at that time period, you know, you know, and that's the other thing, is that you need time. when you really want to create, there's something about sometimes not forcing it, right? And especially when you're an artist, you always think, fuck it. Like, let me just go off. I could do 5 tracks in a week, you know? But sometimes I realize now, the more and more I do it, is you really only need one song to really make people, like, open their eyes and be like, oh, shit, this guy's on some, he got something. Yeah, all right, all right. So, and then the rest of the catalog follows, you know, and that's a good thing for artists to realize. And I did the mistake. I'm going to put them back up. But I took some of my old tracks down off SoundCloud, YouTube and stuff, because I figured the sound was a bit old. But now I'm going to put all that back up, because everybody needs to see the evolution. You know, it only makes sense. Why cover up what you did 10 years ago? That's you too. You know, you never know. A song I did 10 years ago, someone might hear it and say, and I've had people come up to me and tell me that. Like, I love that song. And I'm like, damn, that song's old, bro. Like, yo, I got new stuff. That song, I really felt that track. And that track's like, I'm like, fuck, we didn't mix that song. It was done in the basement. Nothing was pro about it. But something, you know what I mean? It reached somebody. So you don't know. You really don't know. You know, it's you give it out to people, and then it's up to them to really decide what they feel about you. You know, sometimes my personal favorite songs, nobody would probably be like that. No, I really like that. But for me doing it and everything that built up for me to do it, that takes the cake. Like, a lot of my personal favorites will probably never, some of them won't even see the light of day.
Hey, that's interesting. You mentioned the word skeleton, and I started seeing a few skeletons in some of your art. What message are you trying to convey when you display that?
Like, raw to the bone, you know? To the bone. Like, it's sometimes, man, you gotta get away from the image, you know? Like, I really, you know, especially rap culture and hip hop culture now, it's so image based. You know what I mean? With having to sell the sex and sell the allure of wealth and success and all that sometimes I look at it like, we gotta bring it back to the essence of, you know what I mean? Where it's your intelligence, your heart, your soul, all that shit. It doesn't need an image. When you hear a track, you just hear a voice, you know? You don't know how I look. You know what I mean? When you hear my audio track, if you're in Australia or somewhere else and you just hear my voice, that's all you're getting. And all the pictures I paint with my vocals, that's the only way you could see me.
Right.
You know? So I guess that's what we try to do with the visuals, is try to show that it's not really always about what you see, you know, it's what you can interpret, and what, you know, that's what art is, right? What you interpret, your perspective through it,
right?
And Paul's like, you know, I don't know, it's some dope visuals we were able to get. We thought of it, but it's nothing like it's not like a signature of mine, but it does, we used it, yeah, for sure.
Hey, that's creative. At the end of the day, it's the way you say it, right? Because, you know, a message could seem so obvious to a person, but the way you're going to describe it, then it could be a certain interpretation of that person that will make them feel more open or even more engaged in what you're doing.
Exactly.
Hey, kudos to that.
But I respect that, Max. You look up the stuff, and you really
I don't want to come here and bullshit, you know.
Do your homework, bro. I like that.
I appreciate it. And because I see that even at the time you were doing you were performing at the showcases I was putting together, right? And yeah. You tend to do a few open mics here and there. When producers would play the instrumentals, you wouldn't be shy and just take the mic and you would spit something or even perform. What skills would you like to improve as it pertains to what you're doing right now?
My weak point, and it's been brought known to me by close people to me and stuff, is my hook game. I think I want to improve my singing, Sometimes I, because rap to me is so, I get really like, not aggressive, but it brings out an aggression in me. And it's my armor, you know what I mean? As much as I'm free, it's my armor. And singing is another level of where you let down all your walls, you know?
Right.
Sometimes when I'm in the sometimes when it comes to melody and singing, I hold back. I've had producers tell me, like, yo, don't hold back. Don't restrain your voice. Let it out. And sometimes it's funny. I gotta actually go back to just having my normal voice, because I try to do effects with my voice and play with my voice. And in the end, everybody tells you, just use your natural voice.
Mm.
Can you imagine that after going through the whole circle of trying to find out, which vocal are people going to think is dope? I got to come back to my natural self. So it's just a weird process. It's the way I'm going through it, like to find my singing range and to really be comfortable being able to sing out. And because, I want to have every aspect of the game, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have hooks. I already got, verses. I can spit you a 16 in 10 minutes. Like, for me, that shit is, water. Versus is me. That's something I love to do. I could do that with my eyes closed. But when you get hooks, it's like, you know, what's so great about some of your favorite songs that you really like? You know what I mean? The simple lines that really got you and that you go back to listen to.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Nothing too complex, nothing. But yet, it was because of the way the line was put. It's so simple. Like, I don't have a great example right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you an example, actually. My boy Jay, he came up with a line that said, "How can I catch you if I'm falling?
Ooh.
How can I catch you if I'm falling?"
Mm.
You know what I mean? And
damn.
It's like,
That's said it quick, but it makes you think.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what that and that's where a lot of underground artists, especially here in Montreal, don't shy away from trying to come up, from trying to get that commercial. You could come with that commercial feel.
Right.
And it's now Montreal's on the come up, and the radio stations are going to start playing.
Yeah.
Local. You see it, right? You see guys branching out to France, and you see it's starting to get more. We're starting to circulate it. It's good, you know. And with more stuff that you do, with you promoting your brand and all that shit, that's helping us artists want to do it too, you know.
And I appreciate it.
We can't shy away from being able to come with a commercial feel, which is lines like that, which is, you know, it's instead of always trying to be hard and talk about that street shit, it's okay. It's okay to talk street shit too, because it's a real aspect of the game. But it's also, you can be an artist in many ways, you know. And I just think that's it. Like, I've always thought that I had to be complex with metaphors, and then I realized that shit, the line was right under my nose, and I never knew it. You know what I mean? It was right there. It was right there. It was so simple, and I overlooked it trying to go further.
And then
I can't relate to nobody. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to relate to something that is just for you sometimes, you know?
Correct.
And that's the sort of struggle you have when you're an artist.
Give me a second. That was a bar. I should write that. Man, that is powerful, what you just said.
Respect.
No one's going to relate to something if it only means something to you.
Yeah.
Oh man, shoot. Yeah, you should quote that. But like,
that's what we're about.
Paraphrase it, or even put it as a next title, or even a next single, or even a next album.
For real.
Wow. But yeah, a question I wanted to ask you is, what I actually like about you and your family is that, man, the whole family shows up and supports the show.
I remember that.
that's the first time I saw something like that. So what do you think about people who say, hey, man, my close ones never support me. Hey, you know, it's not always the close. Because it seems like it's a myth, or it's not necessarily the truth to a certain degree for everybody. But
Well,
you know.
I know there's a lot of guys who their music world is sort of separate from what other people see them as. Like they got their day jobs and their families maybe respect their day jobs or whatever, and their music to them is like that hobby, you know, like oh yeah, you know, we won't talk about that too much because like you ain't bringing in money from that and shit like that, right?
True.
But like I think if you have a support, if your loved ones support you, like it makes it all the better. Not that you can't do it without, but if you don't have a supporting cast, it's tough. It's tough because at the end of the day, like you want strangers, you want, you know, the opinions of others, but at the same time, you need, when you're alone after the show's over and all that, you still want those people to be there and like to see what you're about, you know?
Thanks.
Like for me, it's yo, my parents, my sister, my brother, my girl, whatever, like they all know that, you know, this shit is, I ride or die for this, you know? It's but I could understand there's a lot of people that don't support it. I
Right.
can see that, you know, especially depending on, you know, if it's not their type of music and if your content is
Right.
not what they would be listening to, you know, like
Yeah, you can't blame them at the end of the day, you know, it's
no,
yeah.
not, you know, but you know, like let's say it's almost the same thing, like yo, your dad never went to your basketball games.
Good
You know
point.
what I mean? Like it's
It's
fucked
like
up. At the same time, what are you gonna do, you know?
he showed up to one practice and made my day, but other than that, yeah, I know what you mean. That feeling is like, oh, well, yeah, you can't force them. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, I feel like some people could support indirectly. For instance, paying for what you're doing, or even not necessarily showing up, but they will talk about you to certain people, and it may feel like it's support, but you know, everything has its time, right?
Hey, listen, man. With this music thing, I think I've almost come to the line where I felt every emotion with it.
Shoot.
Like I've almost, and Nipsey said that. Nipsey said I felt every emotion when it comes to music. Anger, sadness, frustration, all this shit. He's like, yo, don't think I'm here and I didn't go through wanting to quit. You know what I mean? And I didn't go through feeling like, yo, shit. You know what I mean? At a certain point. And I think I've gone through a slew of emotions with this shit. I stayed up countless nights trying to write bars and thinking about, yo, should I continue doing it? You know what I mean? What are my priorities? I need to make money, you
Right.
know, like that. And but there's just something that always, yo, shit never leaves you, bro. Once you have this gift, it doesn't leave you. Like I could go weeks without writing a verse and listening to any beats, right?
Right.
But it always calls you back. Like it calls you back because, like yo, me, rap is life. Life is rap. You know, they go hand in hand for me. It just doesn't make sense any other way for me.
Hey, that's powerful, man. You just live by it. It's a way of life at the end of the day.
It's not easy to be a lifer. I remember a guy I was recording with. He told me it's not easy to be a lifer, meaning like, yo, not everybody's gonna be Eminem and Lil Wayne and all these guys who got everything you think you want because they got problems too. When you're
Yes,
up
man.
there, they got shit you can't even imagine. And some little artists, if you went up there, you might be like, shit, I don't even want these.
It's a whole reality check, man.
There's a lot of cats that if you blow up overnight, you
Right.
might not be expecting what comes with blowing up. See, like right now, I got a hunger in me, and to me, at my age and as long as I've been doing it, the hunger for me, I feel like it'll never burn out because I'm not really doing it for the money. You know, like it'd be great. I want to get paid to be able to go. You know, I feel I deserve to get paid to do a show.
Right.
You have to have that mentality because I put in the work. But at the same time, I do it because I love to fucking do it. You know what I mean? It just, I love to do it. It's like breathing for me, bro. So for me, it's not a, so that's why I think if I did make money, if I do, it's not going to change the way I approach it. It's just going to make it better because it'll make it easier on me. You know, now, you know, if I get commissioned to do an album, shit, man, I could be in the studio all day and I could just be creative instead of having to go to my day job, having to find 2, 3 hours in the afternoon to be able to cram into a studio, finish the studio session, not be sure about the song, go back home, have to rework the song and think about next week going to the studio to finish it. You know, like it's almost stressful in that.
Interesting. Speaking of stress, you know, obviously the quarantine has been a lot or even a little to certain people, but how would you describe your experience, you know, as an artist during this time? What do you feel like you got a lot more creative or it slowed you down to a certain extent?
No, yo, I was recording the entire time during COVID.
Shoot.
I was in the studio every week during COVID. I was one of the only ones going to studio out of all the artists that were at that studio I'm
Right.
at. I was one of the only ones continuously going. I didn't really give a fuck about the COVID shit, but and it made yo, no, I banged out. Like I've been pretty productive. 2020, I've been pretty productive, I gotta say. Like I put out 2 new videos, Do What It Takes, Lay My Head, and I must have recorded in 2020 this year, I must have recorded like between 40 and 60 tracks. You know, not all
Keep
of them
that
are,
up, man.
not all of them will see the light of day, but yo, I was productive. It was maybe the last 3 years, it was my most productive year this year.
Hey, congrats. Keep that up.
And that's what
That's
I want people to see, bro. That's what it's gotta be. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. People gotta go to my, like, for me, I'm not the type that tries to show out on social media. You won't see me flashing pictures of myself, but you'll see me putting my tracks
Work.
out.
I only see
You'll see
work.
the work. You'll see the
That's
work.
it. Hey, for
Yeah,
those of
that's
you who don't know him, look him up. I'm telling you, he's no joke when it comes to bars. He's got a flow. He's nice.
it in. I puts it in, man.
You already know. Now, other than Montreal, do you plan to take your art to another city, or has it been to a point? Have you ever reached to a point where you told yourself, you know what, man? I think I should do a few years in another city and come back.
Yeah, it's a good question, man. That's the scary thing, you know, like I'm trying to start a family or whatever, and you
Yeah,
think
man.
about moving and shit like that. And yeah, I mean, if the opportunity came up and it was a serious opportunity, I probably wouldn't turn it down, but it would have to be a really serious opportunity. Like it'd have to be where I'm really working and music is all I'm doing. I'd go to another city. You know, for a time to be able to really work, because it's all about connections in music. You know, just like any industry, but music is especially
Deeper,
about,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Because it's like, Joe, you're actually trying to make people love you. You know what I mean? Like you're selling yourself, and they gotta love you.
It's deep.
So when you meet producers and promoters and whoever, yo, it's like it's business. In the first of all, it's business. Second, it's passion. So mixing those two together already is sort of like, you know what I mean? It's a sticky situation. And I'm learning that if you don't have it in you, if you don't have that shameless, like sell yourself type of vibe about you, which I'm not really like that. You know what I mean? I'm not really the type that tries to, like, yo,
Sell, like.
I'm not rocking my chain out there, like, but I do realize that you do sometimes have to shove it down people's throats. Like, and I'm learning to be a little more, yo, I belong here. You know what I mean? Because if you don't have that sense, like, I belong here, everybody else in the room is gonna feel that, and you have to exude confidence in order to get confidence back, you know? If you
Correct.
want people to believe in you, you got to exude that confidence. And I've seen it with a lot of artists I've been around who don't exude that, you know? And in the studio vibe, you know, it's good to be humble too, you know. You can't be like a know-it-all either.
Right.
But there's certain situations where you gotta know. You know, you gotta have that gut feeling and you gotta go with it. And you gotta be confident about your shit. You gotta be overflowing with confidence, you know? Especially when your art is based on the words you say. 'Cause words are powerful, my friend, you know? The words we say, they manifest into the universe in crazy ways, man. You see it, right?
Yes. I
Guys
mean,
talk about dying and killing
and
and
that's what
shit.
happens. And it's interesting you're saying this because you know, I've heard a few rappers saying this recently that, you know, Jim Jones said that, Lil Boozy said that at one point too. He's like, rapping is the most dangerous job you could have. But do you believe that is 100% true? Because if we look at an artist like Kendrick or even
J. Cole.
Lupe, J. Cole, they keep their composure to a certain degree and they don't
Yeah,
necessarily
but
attract that.
no, they don't, but they're just really lucky they could play the fence. See, like they got co-signed by whoever they've been, they've sort of had the machine under behind them, and it's not easy to play the fence the way they do. Obviously, they have backgrounds, you know, Kendrick's from Compton and this and that, but it's not easy to play the fence. Usually, an artist has got to pick what type of content he's going to come with.
True.
Well, you don't get away with trying to be gangster on one day and conscious on the next. It's rare. That's rare.
Hey, y'all
Those
need
are
to take notes. That's deep. Yeah.
I think. But you're right. You're right though. There is something you put out there, right? And I don't know, man. You know, you see it. You see that
Yeah.
week in, week out, there's some rapper getting shot. But how come in other music it doesn't happen? How
Right.
come rock and roll or pop music or whatever, they have beef with each other and it's all just talk, right?
Only at the shows, but other than that, between artists, no, you would never hear that. It's rare. It's really rare.
But rappers are getting shot, right? And most of the time, sorry to say, but a lot of rappers are not really gang bangers, right?
No.
They're poets. Like, we're poets. We're the guys who might have been affiliated. You might have been around some guys who were really banging, but in the end, you chose rap, and that's your to get away from that, right?
Correct.
Because real gang, like gangsters who are on the street, guys who are on the street, they don't got time to rap.
They
They
don't they don't talk, man.
got time to.
Now, I want to know, what's the best advice you've been given as an artist or even throughout your career so far?
Don't give up.
Hey.
That's what it is, bro.
We can't take.
There's been a bunch of advices personally. If somebody tells me like, "Yo, D, you gotta really like try to play with the flow, you know, play
Right.
with the flow, and try to be creative in that sense," and I'm like, "Oh shit!" So I gotta step back, you know. Sometimes you gotta step out of it because you're so into it. You step out. I say, oh, okay, yeah. Like sometimes I'll go back and listen to tracks from 5, 7 years ago and be like, oh shit, okay. Like I could, now I see what I was doing and how blinded, not blinded, but just how one dimensional I was thinking, you
Right.
know? And as an artist, you gotta be open, man. You gotta be open. You don't know if on the next beat, you might decide to do a rock and roll song.
Right.
You might decide to do a pop song, but you've been spitting bars and like, look how many guys. Why does Drake always choose to do girl and love type of tracks? Because that's his strength. He plays to his strength.
Yeah.
Why? Everybody knows Drake could spit a 16. Drake could spit for sure, but
Exactly.
he goes in the direction that is his strength and that he knows people are gonna love to the maximum. And it's hard. It's hard because for some reason, as rappers, you always want to be able to spit your bars.
Exactly. You want to go back to your essence to a certain degree, right?
Your comfort zone. You know that thing that, but like I got my boy again talking to him. I tell him, I'm like, yo, your strength is in melodies and in hooks. You just have a natural feel for that. Play to it. play to it. Don't try to just keep it like a little secret weapon on the side. Nah, you can use it and make it your weapon. Make it bam, bam, bam. You can start putting out tracks and use that formula that works for you, you know? Hey. I know for me, I'm a bar guy. You're going to get the lyrics from me. If I could, I'll search everywhere for them lyrics, but I got to work on my hooks, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it's you want to be well-rounded, you know, you don't want to just be one-dimensional. And that's another thing, advice I got, you know, you don't want to just be that one-dimensional type of, unless that's your thing, like you're a battle rapper or something, or, and just like you said, don't give up, man. Don't give up is the biggest thing, right? It's and not even in the sense of don't give up. Like, if music doesn't be like, let's say music is not your, like, shit don't pop off the way you think it should.
Right.
It means like, don't get that sense of fuck, like, you know what I mean? Like that everything was like, I wanted to call an album at one point, in vain.
Oh.
Like, basically, I did it all in vain.
You serious?
I wanted to call. I had an idea for that. And then it was really I think I was in a negative space a bit because I was just like, fuck. It's just hard, you know? It's hard to build that traction and get people seeing you. Right. So it's easy to think like that. It's easy to be like, yo, it's all for nothing. And we put a lot of work. We put a lot of work. And when I say we, it's because I'm not alone. Like, people around me, and every time we do a song, it's like we put a lot of work into it. So if you think it's all for nothing, you failed already. Right. You know what I mean? Failed badly, because yo, it can't always be about the success. Like, oh, people don't see it, I don't have 100,000 views, I'm not making money. Fuck it, it's for nothing. It can't be. If that's the mentality, don't invest in yourself and don't try to be an independent artist, you know? Don't. Hey. But it's deep, man. I don't know. We could go on all night about trying to figure out, you know, how to build traction and how to get, you know? And there's many artists that have done it. I just saw Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper is independent. The guy built a great following and he got Apple Music to pay him out like $500,000 to distribute his album.
That's huge, man.
But for him to get to that point, like, he need to do that, those foundations, you know what I mean? He needed to get that fan base solid so that Apple could be like, okay, yeah, well, we're gonna make money off, we're gonna make money with you, you know?
Right.
Because at the top, in the higher, in the end, in business, it's always about the bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not making people money, my other boy told me the other day, if you can't be used, you're useless. You know?
Capitalism, right? Hey. This is a lot of gems, man. I hope somebody, because I see a few artists in the place, I hope they're taking notes, and we might gonna have to do a part two, because I have a few more questions. And you know, I like the flow of it at this point. And I feel like you could also, because you have 15 years of experience up to now, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was rhyming teenager, you know.
Shoot. And what lessons were you able to, you know, to gain up until today from 15 years ago, if we think about it?
Yeah, discipline, you know. Like, it really showed me a lot of mental strength. Like, anybody that has problems with substance abuse, you're drinking, or you got, you know, anything you abuse, right, anything you do too much of, you become an addict to it, right? But it's funny, because at one point I saw myself addicted to music too. Like, I was addicted to the vibe of rapping. Right. I was addicted to getting the next beat, you know? And I'd pour a lot of money into it too. Like, I'll drop a couple thousand dollars at the studio without even thinking. Shoot. And when you think of, and none of those songs will see the light of day. So then when you think about it, it's almost as bad as a drug habit. Mm. Similar, right? The only thing is that music, you evolve, right, whether you like it or not. And with drug habits and alcohol, you just degenerate. So I don't never regret that, you know, and that's what it showed me is there's a certain discipline to it that, like, sometimes I could even see it, like, oh shit, like the words just write themselves. You know what I mean?
Shoot.
The words just write themselves. Like, you, it's like, shit, have I written that before? But I haven't. You know what I mean? I just worded it with like a thought that I probably already had. And I've told
Hey.
myself, I must, because I'm the type, I never try to recycle lines. You know what I mean? I'll use similar words or whatever, but always in a different way. And that's the challenge, right? Challenges to write and to bring about, because we talk about a lot of the same things. I mean, we're trying to relate to every, you know, to the everyday struggle, I guess, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So that's happened to me where the words just write themselves. It really, like, it becomes like you say, it shouldn't be hard, right? It should be fun. It should be easy. It should be in you to do it. But
Interesting.
I've spent also other times where I just broke my head, rewrote a verse, and yo, this beat, I don't know what this beat's doing to me. I can't figure it out. I can't figure out what I gotta bring to it. You
That's
know
an
what I mean?
eerie feeling, eh?
Yeah, it really fucks you up. Yeah, it fucks you up.
I got two more questions. This question is pretty, it's a heavy one. So, if you could change anything about the industry, we're talking about entertainment industry, music industry, what would it be?
I think it'd be the trending. It'd be for it. You know how they, you know, they force a niche type of market, right?
Right.
And they exploit it. They exploit the set. They exploit the guns, the drugs, you know what I mean? And the clothes and the cars. And to me, like, now hip hop, now every other music is taking from hip hop. Before, hip hop was taking from all the other music.
True.
Flipped, right? The world's flipped now. So because hip hop has so much power, now hip hop is in the driver's seat. This is what I mean is it shouldn't, you know, but they'll never let that happen. But it's not that underground rap or whatever or bars. I'm not saying that, yo, I spit with more purpose than somebody like Migos.
Right.
Because who the fuck am I compared to them? They were able to get people to love them. And if you're able to get people to love you, that's positive, right? It should be positive, even though maybe you don't agree with the stuff they're saying in the song. You know, because
But
then
the
you go,
influence.
well, what are they saying in the songs? You know what I mean? But as much as anything, it gives people something to wake up to and feel like humming and feel like bumping to. So that's why I don't judge nobody's art. You know what I mean? I sort of used to feel that way, and now I realize you can't even judge art. Even Tekashi 6.
It's sad.
Some
It's sad
people
to
love
say it's
that.
true. Sad to say it's
Some
true. Because you
it's
gotta
fucked up.
separate. You know, you gotta separate to a certain extent. And
But for me, I really try to write with purpose. You know what I mean? And when I spit, it's really with purpose. Like, for me, it's on the same level as religion, martial arts. It's a discipline like that for me. And I would assume, like, I know, like, one of my favorite cats is Weezy, you know? For me, Weezy, in a terms of, like, who do I, even though what he talks about sometimes I'm not crazy about,
Right.
the way he does it just
It's
keeps me entertained. Keeps me entertained, keeps me on the edge of my seat thinking, this motherfucker, he was able to do it again, you know? He's always able to do it again. So it's like, to me, and I know he puts in the work. He puts in the work. So that's the other thing I know. You know what I mean?
he's dropping No Ceilings 4 this weekend with Drake. Yeah.
No ceiling three.
Three, on my bad. I think it's three or four, but yeah, with Drake.
Yeah, BB. Yo, go listen. I heard the whole album. It's crazy.
Hey, man.
But I'm just saying, what I mean is, I know these guys put in a lot of work. All these mainstream artists that you want to point your fingers and say, what is the influence they're putting on the young, on the youth?
Right.
Be what it may, yo, they're artists. They're songwriters. They're not supposed to be teaching your youth right from wrong.
Mm.
That's another thing people have to think about, you know? They're not there to tell you, you know what I mean, right from wrong. That's the parents and the educators and people in their song. You know, you're doing songs.
Mm-hmm.
So hey. I just think that, but I would love to see more, like you, I guess if you want to say conscious vibes or more of that, you know, just mm-hmm. less emphasis on the sex, the drugs, the alcohol, because it just gets redundant. I guess, mm-hmm. and every cat starts sounding the same. You know what I mean? And there's nothing. That's it. Lacking originality. Mm. Lacking originality, man.
All right. My last question. Well, I have a question after that. What's next for you? What's next for Diego?
More songs, man. More music. More music from me, for sure, man. I got a lot in the pocket right now. I got a lot of ideas. I got videos coming in 2021.
Okay.
Just, building my catalog, man. That's it. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody. From Montreal, we're coming up. And, you know, I need cats like you to be able to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Let everybody know that we're here, because it's important, man. It's important, you know?
No doubt. So how can people support you and get a hold of you? Because I don't know if you have the website finalized at this point, or even if you're coming out with...
Diego Delatti on YouTube, SoundCloud, Instagram.
Let me write that.
And I'll be on it. I'm going to be on Spotify as of this week, probably. You know, okay. I'm starting tracks out there on Spotify because I want people to be able to listen and not have to, because, you know, the whole YouTube, it's not easy. But
mm-hmm. I wrote it correctly, right?
Yes, sir.
I got it right? All right.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So, yeah, man, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, I got enough music to continue for a long time.
Hey, all I got to say, man, keep doing your thing, my brother. I love what you're doing. You know, you've been consistent for the past 15 years. I've known you for about 5 or so, or even less than that. But, you know, I love the spirit that you keep having, and respect. Your family too, man.
Respect, man. I appreciate it. And when's your next basics hip-hop thing?
We're going to get to it real soon. Hopefully, it could be early 2021.
We're going to have to wear masks while we spit, huh?
Oh, I'm telling you, man. For those of you who don't know, I used to organize, well, I still do organize hip-hop showcase events or even hip-hop shows. And Diego's one of the guys that's been there, and he's performing. He's doing his thing. He's progressing at every event. I noticed that every time you show up, you got something new added to the table, that you added to your
game. Yeah, we always come with new tracks. I fit the same track.
Nah, but it's important, man, because it's going to show, it's going to, you know, speak a lot about your art and who you, and the brand you're representing, you know?
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, you're not necessarily going to force your brand, but people are going to perceive it a certain way, and it's going to make you stand out.
For sure, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, like I said. And, you know, hopefully we could do this part 2 and we'll talk a little bit more about industry stories and whatnot.
For sure. Let me know, man. And, yo, hit me up one of those hip-hop basics hoodies, man.
No doubt. For sure. I'll get you.
Yeah, let me know about that.
All right. Stay up.
All right, man.
Bless. All right, so there you have it, folks. This was the 9th episode of Infatuated Hustle Podcast. I've been doing this for 9 weeks so far. I'm pretty impressed, and shout outs to Diego. He did his thing. He's an amazing artist. I feel like a lot of you should start to get to look up a few artists in the city who don't necessarily have certain, you know, certain brands behind them or names. But yeah, he's one of the guys you don't want to sleep on. It reminds me, when I talk to him, I have a feeling I talk to Belly at his early stages. I don't know if you guys know Belly, but he was one of the guys that has been consistent for quite a time. You know, he's been doing his rapping thing for a while. And then at one point he blew up and people realized, oh damn, it was too late to follow suit or even know what he was up to. But sometimes you never know, man. You never know who you're talking to. So on that note, I hope everyone had a time of their evening. Hope it was a little bit educational, entertaining, and wonderful. So we'll leave you on that, and I'd say on next week's episode, I won't tell you who I have, but in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be something very interesting. We're going to have an industry person that's going to be joining us, and we're going to share a few game. So on that note, deuces. Have a good one.